Afro Tales Podcast is a part of the Connected Podcast Network.
Ahoy, my friends. Welcome aboard the Afro Tales Podcast. I'm your storyteller, Amon Mazinga. Join me as we explore the tales that grew from the people of indigenous and African descent in the Americas and the Caribbean.
After, come and see me, Chef, who will impart upon you a recipe for the story you have just heard.
So with no further ado, let us set sail on this new age of exploration. How the Snake Got His Rattle. When the Lord made the snake, he made him with all the pretty colors you could think of. Reds and browns and oranges. And the Lord put the snake down here to decorate the ground and the bushes. To add a little color to everything. Well, the snake didn't mind ornamenting the earth, but he wondered if the Lord knew what a hard life he had to lead. And it was hard. Wasn't no doubt about that. He didn't have wings like the birds so he could fly. He didn't have fins so he could go for a swim in the river. He didn't have feet, so he could run fast. All he could do was crawl in the dust. He didn't even mind that so much, but he couldn't figure out why the Lord had given him such poor eyesight. Man, the snake was so blind, he couldn't even see a flashlight if it was shining right in his eyes. He was so blind, he couldn't see his hands in front of his face if he had hands to put in front of his face. His eyesight was so bad that he had to smell his way around. And to tell you the truth, his nose was none too good either. Now, you can imagine what it must have been like when the snake had to go to the store. Or down to the laundromat, crawling around in the dust like that, and being half blind, he was always getting stepped on. He couldn't see anybody coming, and since he was down on the ground, nobody could see him. The other animals didn't mean to step on him, but you know how it is sometimes. You're in a hurry, trying to get somewhere, and you just ain't got time to see whether there's a blind snake with a no-smelling nose in your path. Some days, the mere thought of going somewhere tired the snake out so much that he just didn't even bother getting up. Mrs. Snake wasn't too happy about the situation either. She couldn't even take the little snakes down to the playground anymore. The other children thought they were pretty jumpers. So she was stuck in the house with the kids all day, and they were about to drive her out of her mind.
"Why don't you do something?"
she screamed at him one morning.
"I went down to the laundry this morning and almost got run down by two buffalo, three antelope, and a rabbit. This just makes me sick. I'm tired of this, and if you have a snake at all, you'll do something about it."
Snake sighed. He'd heard it all so many times before.
"Well, what do you expect me to do? Grow arms? The Lord made us this way, and ain't a thing we can do about it."
"Says who? You know as well as I do that God don't know what he's doing half the time. He just sits up there experimenting with this and that. And we were one of the experiments that didn't turn out well. You're going to do something, or I'm going to know the reason why. You're trifling, lazy, and no account. My mama told me not to marry you, and I should have listened to her."
And Mrs. Snake proceeded to call him a whole bunch of dirty names. She even jumped on back of his family and started playing the dozens. She said his mama was a lizard and his daddy was a fishing worm. Well, Mr. Snake was trying to figure out what number he should play that day. And he couldn't have concentrate with all the yelling his wife was doing. So he decided to crawl off to heaven and talk it over with the Lord. He figured that the Lord wouldn't be able to do anything, but at least he would shut his wife up if he got the word directly from God. About 2 o'clock that afternoon, the snake got up to heaven. The Lord was sitting back in his great rocking chair reading TV Guide.
"Well, what's going on, Mr. Snake?"
"Ain't nothing happening, Lord. Same old, you know."
"Yeah, know what you mean. Pull up a chair. I'm just sitting here seeing what's going on in television in 1970. Course, that's a long way off, but I figured I'd check it out now. Just in case I wanted to take a vacation about then."
The snake curled up in the chair.
"Care for a cigar, Mr. Snake?" "Thank you, Lord, but don't believe I don't. I've been thinking about cutting down myself. Mrs. God tells me I smoke too much. She says it's making my breath smell bad."
"Is that so?"
"That's what she claims, Mr. Snake. I just can't understand it. I brush after every meal." "Well, that's neither here nor there. What's on your mind? You looking mighty well."
"Well, Lord, I ain't doing too well."
"You don't say."
"It's the truth. I hate to come up here bothering you and all, knowing how busy you are, but my wife just wouldn't let me rest until I did something."
"Well, why don't you tell me about it?"
"It's like this, Lord. You know my eyes are kind of bad. Seems to run in the family on both sides of the house. And me being low on the ground, like I am, I can't tell when folks are coming down the road. As a result, me and my family are always getting stepped on. And Lord, I just ache all over. And you know, I got a whole lot of muscles that can ache. The strain has made my nerves so bad that rain beating on the leaves make me jumpy."
"You in bad shape, Mr. Snake."
"I done tried compost and everything else you can think of for my nerves, Lord, but don't nothing help. Some days I think about going outside the house and getting stepped on, and I just don't get out of the bed."
The Lord lit one of his big cigars and blew smoke rings for a few minutes.
"Well, I didn't mean for nothing like that to happen to you."
He reached in his pocket and pulled out a small bottle.
"Here. This is poison.
You put this in your mouth and give the rest to all your kinfolks. This'll be for you to protect yourself with. Anybody step on you, you can bite them. And stick a little poison into them."
"Thank you, Lord. I sure thank you."
"Don't mention it, Mr. Snake. Glad to help out when I can. If you have any more problems, just let me know."
The snake didn't waste a minute getting down the ladder and going home. When he told his wife about the poison, she was so happy she kissed him. He told her that she best be cool and went to bed. Well, a few days later, the rabbit sent word to the forest that the animals had to send their union representatives to the meeting. All the animals, that is, except the snake.
The meeting is now come to order,
the rabbit announced.
Hey, Mr. Elephant, can you find a seat somewhere and stop blocking the sun?
I don't know why the Lord made the dumbest thing in the forest the biggest. The elephant sat down.
You still blocking the sun, Mr. Elephant?
I'm sorry, Mr. Rabbit.
Well, I understand it ain't all your fault, but you think you can hold your head to one side so a little light can come through. That's good. Now, everybody, now, know why I call this meeting? It's that snake. We gotta do something. And do it quick. Before he kills us all. I've been to 13 funerals this week, and today's only Tuesday.
I know what you mean,
the frog put in.
That snake's killed 3 of my uncles, 7 cousins, 2 aunts, and my brother-in-law. I have to admit, though, it's getting rid of my brother-in-law was kind of a blessing.
Well, blessing or no, that snake has been a terror ever since the Lord gave him the poison. He's been biting everything that shakes the bush. He can't see, but ain't a thing wrong with his hearing. Why, if he just hear a little thing, he's dead on it.
And that's got to be the best aim I've ever seen,
the horse added.
Who are you telling?
Exclaimed the rabbit.
I saw a leaf shake on a bush. And I guess you know that's one dead leaf now. Snake put all sorts of poison in that leaf. Well, what are we going to do about it?
The fox wanted to know. Tell him to move on over, or we'll move on over him, said the panther. Tell him the next time he lays his forked tongue on anybody, we're going to off him.
And suppose he lays his forked tongue on somebody and you don't off him,
said the rabbit.
That's right,
the owl put in.
Hustlers don't call showdowns.
The elephant said,
we could talk to him real nice like and let him know that we don't mean no harm. And all we want is our rights. He should be able to understand that.
Like I said before, how come the Lord made you so big and gave you such little brains? If your brain was magnified 100 times, it would fit in the navel of a gnat and rattle around like a BB in a cornflake box. Understand, he doesn't have to understand nothing. He don't want to. As long as he's got such power.
They talked and talked and talked and talked until the rabbit got so disgusted he just took off for heaven himself. They were going to do all the talking and end up saying they should send somebody to talk to the Lord. The rabbit wondered if he was the only one of the animals that had any sense. The Lord was reading the newspaper when the rabbit came up to the porch.
Yeah, Mr. Rabbit. Just between you and me. I ain't gonna be nowhere to be found between 1960 and 1970. And if you take my word, you'll go somewhere and hide yourself. That's going to be a rough 10 years. Yes, yes. I ain't answering no prayers during that time. No, indeed.
Lord, what are you talking about?
You just remember what I said, okay?
He folded the newspaper and put it beside his chair.
Now, what's on your mind?
It's that snake.
He was just up here a few days ago.
Don't you think we know it? You gave him some poison, and he's bitten so many animals that a lot of them are packing up and going north. People are scared to let their wives and daughters go out alone at night. That's the truth, Lord. That snake has bitten 337 animals, 5 oak trees, 17 palm trees, and 1 sticker bush. You should have seen him bite into that sticker bush. His wife was pulling stickers out of his lips for 2 hours. Served him right. The lowdown.
I get your point. You go back down and tell Mr. Snake to get himself up here in a hurry.
Well, it's kind of dangerous to get too close to him, Lord.
You tell Elephant to yell the message in his general direction. Anything wrong with Mr. Snake's hearing? A few hours later, the snake was curled up in the chair next to the Lord.
Lord, I sure thank you for the poison you gave me a few days ago. I haven't gotten stepped on since.
That's just what I wanted to talk to you about. What's this I hear about you using that poison for insurance instead of protection?
Well, Lord, you know my eyes ain't too good. I can't see who's my friend and who come to do me harm. So I just bite everything that come along. And that's the way I'm always on the safe side. I've been stepped on so much that I just can't take any chances.
I can understand that, Mr. Snake, but now you just about terrorized everybody.
I ain't mean to, Lord. I sure didn't intend to do that.
The Lord reached in his pocket. Here, you take these rattles and put them on your tail. When you hear something, shake your tail. That'll be a warning. If it's your friend, he'll stop and pass the time of day with you. If it's your enemy, he'll just keep coming. And after that, it's you and him. You understand?
Yes, Lord, I do. I thank you. And it was getting mighty tiresome biting everything that come along. Mighty tiresome.
And that's how Snake got his rattles. By that time, though, almost everybody was so afraid of him that hardly anyone would ever come around to see him. When they did, though, he shook his tail right off and then rattled through the forest, letting everybody know, "This is Mr. Snake here. You can't step on me now." The end.
Okay, wow. That was another great story, retold by Julius Lester, coming out of the book Talk That Talk by Linda Goss and Miriam B. Barnes. And I must say, it's a great story. At least to me it is. I love the fact that Snake and his wife are complaining about being blind and have no sense of smell. And his wife nags him to the point where he's like, you know what? Maybe I should go up and see God about this. And he does. And then when he gets up there, God is reading or watching TV, seeing what's going on in 1970. Right? And if you know anything about what's going on in the 60s and 70s, it's like, interesting. I wonder if he was watching Good Times or the Jeffersons. Anyway, doesn't matter, right? So he gives him a weapon, gives him a power. He abuses that power. The animals complain. The rabbit goes up there. And Rabbit is a bit of a dick. I shouldn't say that. Anyway, Rabbit is a bit mean, especially the elephant. And he thinks he just knows everything and is just smarter than everybody. So he goes up there and he talks to God. And God is like, what's up? I'm reading the newspaper. And he's telling him he's going to go take vacation in 1960 to 70. And I think to myself, well, what happened in American history from 1960 to 1970? Yeah, that part. Then I think to myself, well, how many other vacations has he taken over the time? Because, you know, like mid-1500s, 1600s to like 1860. Seems like he took a long vacation. I don't know. I don't know. But, yeah. Then he gives Snake a rattle. So that by the time the end of the story comes, you know, all the animals are either terrified of him or just so annoyed with Snake that they don't even want to deal with him anymore. So now he has no friends besides his own family. And when you see snakes, that's pretty much how they are, right? They don't have any friends. Interesting. I like snakes, though. Snakes are wonderful. Wonderful little reptiles. But I loved the, and this is just a little bit of a ramble. I don't care. I loved the wife's dig on him. Your mother's a lizard and your daddy's a worm. Ooh, for a snake, that has to hurt. You know, that like, you know, he wanted to call her something out of, you know, he wanted to call her something mean. But she just ripped into him so well. And you gotta love that sometimes, you know, people's wit. But yeah, anyway, I didn't have much for this. I just love the story and I wanted to share it with you guys. So anyway, go see Chef. He's going to have a wonderful, obviously, Southern dish for you. And until we meet again, as always, thank you, first off, and have a blessed day.
Welcome, my friends, to the gathering. I am your chef, Chef, and today we have a wonderful meal inspired by the story you have just heard. Today, we will be creating chicken pot pie. Now, what will you need for this recipe? 6 tablespoons of butter, 1 medium onion diced, 1 rib of celery sliced, 2 teaspoons of fresh thyme, minced, 2 teaspoons of garlic, minced, 2 medium carrots, sliced about 1 to 1 1/4 cups, 1/3 cup of all-purpose flour, 1 cup half and half, 1/2 cup milk, 1/2 cup heavy cream, 2 1/4 cups of chicken broth, 4 to 5 cups of cooked chicken cut into cubes or shredded, whichever you prefer. 1 cup of frozen peas, 1 teaspoon of Creole seasoning, 1 tablespoon of fresh parsley, minced, and salt and pepper to taste. For the crust, you will need 1 package of refrigerated pie crust. For the egg wash, 1 egg and 1 to 2 tablespoons of water or milk whisked with salt and pepper to taste. Now, how do we put this together? Easy. First, we will preheat the oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. We will heat butter or oil in a large pot over medium heat. Then, add the onions, celery, thyme, garlic, and carrots. Cook and stir for about 6 to 7 minutes until tender. Stir in flour until it has been fully incorporated. Stirring for about a minute should do. Gradually, stir in half and half and the broth. Bring to a boil, stirring constantly. Cook and stir for about 2 minutes more or until thickened and bubbles. Now, you will gradually add the cooked chicken, peas, Creole seasoning, and parsley. Remove from heat. Adjust salt, pepper, and seasoning to taste. Then, you will unroll the pie crust. Cover the bottom of the casserole and reserve the rest for the top. Place the chicken mixture into a 2-quart casserole or desired baking dish, whichever works for you. Cover with remaining pastry. Trim, seal, and flute edges. You may freeze unbaked pies at this point or cut slits on the top for the steam to escape. Brush with the egg wash mixture. Then you will bake in a preheated oven for 30 to 35 minutes or until pastry is golden brown and filling is bubbling and cooking through. And that is it, my friend. Now, go make this recipe yours. And until I have another wonderful recipe for you, remember the snake's journey. You'll be safe when you are around one. So, until next time, as always, enjoy!
Thank you, my friends, for coming on this voyage. Thanks to Art by Chalet for the logo, episode, and shirt designs. You can get t-shirts and other items on tpublic.com. You can contact me on all socials at AfroTalesCast. That's Afro T-A-L-E-S cast. And email me at AfroTalesCast@gmail.com. You may also become a benefactor by simply sharing with any and everyone, giving a thumbs up, a 5-star rating and review in your podcast app of choice, or simply donating on Patreon or Ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com. So until we meet again, may your winds be fair and your seas follow.